Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great weekend. It was awesome. Had a nice Easter. The Rockets won on Saturday night.
There was a lot to like over the weekend from a sporting front. I want to say the thing I liked the most was sitting watching Game 3 in Salt Lake City and knowing that as Harden missed shot after shot after shot after shot, that only meant it was coming. That only meant it was inevitable that a few were going to go through, and the longer it got in that game, the more meaningful those baskets were going
to
be.
Yeah, 0 for 15 to start, but 3 for 5 to close the game.
It was inevitable.
Yeah. He was going to knock down a few. I mean, he wasn't going to go 0 for the game. You know, his first one was a dunk off of a steal, so you knew as he's gliding in for that one, you go, okay, he's going to at least get this one.
It's the old cliche, that's the one that gets you going.
But he had some big buckets down the stretch. He got to the free throw line as much as he normally does. And that, I think when you look at a box score with James Harden and you see he goes 3 for 20. Now, granted, most times in the past against a team, even a team that's the Jazz's level, the Jazz are a good team, but they're not the Warriors. The 3 for 20 from James Harden is not going to get it done. But James Harden's a little different animal. You know he's going to get to the line 12, 13, 15, 16 times like he did. So those are easy points that don't necessarily show up in other guys' box scores when they go 3 for 20. Harden affects the game in other ways. And, yeah, you nailed it. He was big down the stretch. He was really big down the stretch. And I love, Rich, the way that they had to win that game. You win by 32 and 20 in the first two games. I think it's nice. I think it's nice that you go through some struggle. Unlike the Warriors, I think it's nice that you don't cough up a lead and lose a game to have to get a wake-up call. Right. It's nice to get your wake-up call maybe in a win like that.
There's no doubt. I mean, among the things that got me going over the weekend certainly was the Rockets were near or at the top of the list. We'll get to probably in the 3 o'clock hour my contention that Russell Westbrook is an a-hole. We'll get to that. It's just absolutely... Yeah,
I think most people are on your side in that argument these
unbelievable.
Days.
Unbelievable, yeah. And, of course, the build-up, the anticipation to the NFL draft coming up on Thursday and the fact that the Texans have 3 picks, all higher than their highest selection of a year ago. You got to be excited about that with all sorts of speculation. The Peter King rumor is right in my wheelhouse, by the way, and I know we'll get to that. And as far as the Astros are concerned, okay. Garrett Cole could be a little sharper. Colin McHugh was as bad as he's ever been. What else you got for me?
Yeah, I know, Rich, but I had a topic that the rundown's a fluid document, so when I think of things over the weekend, I go to the rundown and I put them in there so I don't forget.
I understand.
And then after yesterday, I had to erase my, could Colin McHugh be the next all-star starter for the Houston, or starting pitcher for the Houston Astros.
One disastrous start does not make a season.
It doesn't make a season, but it did take his ERA from like 1.92 to 5.13. Not a great time to do the could Colin McHugh be an all-star topic.
No doubt about it. I guess the good news is there's nothing wrong with the offense.
Yeah, that's clicking on all cylinders right now. But we'll start with the Rockets and this game in Salt Lake. It's just, man, it's so nice to have a healthy Chris Paul. And he talked about it after the game. He said that the Rockets had to find a way to grind out that game.
We knew that they were going to come out, be a lot more aggressive, a lot more comfortable. Guys making shots. They were aggressive getting to the free throw line, but, you know, we just tried to hang around. And we all kept talking to each other, you know, about, you know, doing whatever we had to do to pull this out.
And then one more from Chris Paul, and this guy was huge down the stretch, but P.J. Tucker, especially with a couple big rebounds down the stretch, Chris Paul said P.J. just does what he always does.
Been on Tuck since we was 10, years old. He been the same size since we was 10 years old. You know what I mean? And he been the same guy, that same grit. And you just trust him. You know what I mean? You got to love him. He going to do any and everything to do to help the team win. And that sheet does it no justice for the way he plays. And he's that valuable to our team.
I agree with that. We need to point out here, whenever P.J. Tucker gets highlighted like this, especially with Chris Paul being the one doing the highlighting, it's worth reminding people that putting together an NBA roster is a very intricate, very detailed process. And when they brought Chris Paul in, they'd originally recruited him to sign here as a free agent, sign a max deal, a four-year deal as a free agent, into the cap space they had. But instead, they were able to get the Clippers to agree to a trade where at least the Clippers come away with something. And they done. It's actually worked out okay for the Clippers. A lot of those former Rockets, Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell, other pieces, Lou Williams, doing pretty well for the Clippers. But the reason why P.J. Tucker is on this team is...
It delayed the big deal for Paul.
I don't want to get too deep in the weeds with the salary cap, but because that was a trade, because Daryl Morey was able to convince all the parties involved that a trade was best for everybody between the Clippers and the Rockets, it allowed them the flexibility to go sign P.J. Tucker. And as great as Harden is and as great as Chris Paul is when he's healthy and as formidable as Clint Capella has become as a player, I can't imagine this team right now without P.J. Tucker.
He's always been a big game guy, a big moment guy. He was that guy when he was Big 12 Player of the Year at the University of Texas. He's bounced around. He's been in some foreign countries. But that offensive rebound that essentially sealed the outcome of the game in the closing moments on Saturday was the moment you knew the Rockets were going to take a 3-0 lead in that series, at least more than likely. But I got to tell you, as early on as the first quarter, and P.J. Tucker was right in the middle of all of this, the Jazz came out as expected, as fired up as they've been in this series, and threw a couple of haymakers at the Rockets, grabbed a couple of big leads, and the Rockets just very calmly, very very matter-of-factly, very machine-like, just decided, okay, that's good. There was no urgency, no panic, nothing in them that would suggest they were in as hostile an environment as they were against some players as fired up as they're going to get to make a statement in that series. And they did kind of make a statement in the first quarter, but the Rockets matched them blow for blow. The Jazz held a mere 2-point lead at the end of the first quarter, and all was well. The Rockets had weathered the early storm, which we knew was inevitable.
Yeah, that's the big thing, I think, is just when you know you're on the road and it's a struggle, and Chris Paul said it in that cut, you knew that the Jazz were going to come out fired up in that game. You knew their fans were going to come out fired up in that game. I think the Rockets are going to close this thing out tonight, but this has been, as sweeps go, Rich, I think this, assuming they win tonight, and I know it's a big assumption, but let's pretend that they close it out tonight. To have to go on the road in that environment, I think, is while the Jazz aren't one of the, they're not one of the elite teams in the league, they're a good team, and in their building, they're a 29-12 team this year. So you extrapolate it out, that's a 58-win team when they're playing on their home floor in Salt Lake City. So I think that's a good test early in the playoffs for the Rockets to play in an environment like that. Not that they're going to be intimidated by Oakland in the second round, because if any team's not going to be intimidated by playing at Golden State, it's going to be the Rockets, who have had by far the most success playing at Golden State over the last couple of years during the Kevin Durant era. But I think, as first rounds go, where you're just looking to get in and out pretty quickly, I think the two home games give them a ton of confidence that they're going to play on all cylinders, regardless of who the opponent is when they're at Toyota Center. And I think the game on Saturday and hopefully the game tonight give them the confidence that, hey, even when we're only playing our C-plus game and our star player offensively is only having his C game, we can still have the wherewithal to hang around. I think the depth really helps too, that Mike D'Antoni has different matchups and different combos he can go to.
Crazy depth to get
what the team needs in specific instances really helps.
The kind of depth you rarely see with NBA teams. We're talking 9 quality guys that he can count on in many, many different situations. The word that comes to mind for me, Sean, is demoralizing. Because I think the Rockets have broken the Jazz now after these 3 games. I mean, yeah, demoralizing is getting blown out by an average of 26 points in each of the first 2 games at Toyota Center. But demoralizing is also, hey, we got him where we want him, in our building, with our fans. We got a big lead. Harden has missed the first 15 shots he's taken. Golden opportunity, and you blow it. You could see it on the face of Donovan Mitchell when P.J. Tucker secured that offensive rebound, that it was like he could not believe they'd blown a golden opportunity like they had. And they did, and I'm not expecting much in Game 4 tonight. I think the Rockets will make quick work of the Jazz. I think they took their swing in Game 3 on Saturday, and that there's not going to be a whole lot of spirit left for the Jazz to muster in this game. Demoralizing. Enjoy it, Rockets fans, because they're not going to demoralize the Warriors. I don't know who they would get if they actually got past the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, but this was demoralization of the opponent.
Yeah. I'm not worried about whoever's waiting after the Warriors. I obviously can't look past the. And I mean that both from a standpoint of, you obviously, you got to focus on the Warriors. They're the best team in the league. But also, I don't think highly at all of that other side of the bracket. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to, if the Rockets do get through the Warriors, it's going to be a weird flow to the playoffs that you finally vanquish this beast. Yeah. That's been the thorn in your side really for the last 4 or 5 years. It's been the thorn in the side of the entire league. And if you're able to beat them in the second round, you look up and it's not even May 20th yet. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's going to be weird for the league. It's going to be weird for both teams involved in this, that this series, the series that everybody has been pointing towards as the series of the postseason, is going to start like on May 2nd. Mm-hmm. It's totally bizarre. And yeah, demoralization. And Rich, you know where it's reflected? In the odds makers. Remember I told you the Rockets were 3-point underdogs going into the game on Saturday?
Sure.
They're 2.5-point favorites tonight. That's a 5-point swing after just one game. That's the odds makers saying, A, we got it wrong on Saturday, and B, we think Utah's cashing in their chips.
Yeah.
Utah, 29-12 team at home with no health issues that I can think of, is a 2.5-point underdog to a team they were just a 3-point favorite to two nights ago.
And we are allowed to look ahead as members of the media. It's not going to be OKC. It's going to be Portland, San Antonio, or Denver if the Rockets were to be fortunate enough to get past the Warriors in round two.
Agreed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.